Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Mia, and I'm here with my mom, Danielle, and we're Marriage and Martinis today.
Yes, Mia is here for her second episode of Marriage and Martinis, and this is your first interview.
Oh, yeah, and I'm very excited for it.
You did a great job.
Thank you.
I can't wait for everybody to hear. Would you like to tell everybody a little bit about why we did this episode and a little bit about our guest?
Okay, so we were talking to Chloe Hagen. She's an autism advocate, and she's an influencer, mainly on TikTok is where she's most popular. But she also has a YouTube channel, and you can follow her on all handles at Princess Aspian.
And you found her on TikTok when you were sort of, we talk about it in the episode, when you were sort of going through a time of kind of just like figuring out a lot about who you are and maybe that you were neurodivergent. And so when you found her, she really affected you.
Yeah, definitely. She was one of the first people who made me think like, hey, maybe this is me. I'm identifying with a lot of this. And like, sure, there was still some pushback in my brain that was like, no, you can't be this. But she helped me through so much of it. And I'm so happy to have found her.
Awesome. And Chloe was so wonderful. I can't wait for everybody to hear this. There's so much good information, both from the perspective of Chloe and also Mia. And also I tell a little bit of my story on the other side of when Mia came to me saying that she wanted to get evaluated.
For autism.
And that, you know, sort of just our history with it and a little bit about how, I don't know, how you were nervous about telling me and all of that. So there's definitely a lot of vulnerability in this episode. So Chloe Hayden is an ambassador for autism organizations worldwide. She's written teaching manuals for educators and psychologists. She has a sensory-friendly clothing line. She's created learning and development tools to help nonverbal autistics, traveled the world speaking on autism and disabilities, and she has a huge online following that's all dedicated to learning about autism and growing an understanding that we are, or that the autism community is different, not less. And April is Autism Awareness Month. So I'm just so grateful that Chloe decided to do the episode with us.
Oh my God, same here.
Yeah, I know you are. Everyone can see that picture of you. You look so happy. So everyone, enjoy. Go follow Chloe Hayden at Princess Aspian all over on all the platforms and enjoy listening.
Hi, welcome to the podcast. We're so excited to have you here. I know, I'm so excited and happy to be talking to you. When I started questioning whether or not I was like neurotypical and stuff, I found that was like around the time I found you on TikTok, and I'm so, so thankful that I did. You talked about things like special interests and growing up feeling like you couldn't live up to people's expectations and trouble with communication that started to make me feel like a bit more seen and helped me start to figure myself out a bit more. Thanks to you, I've gained the courage to like talk about what I'm going through, and I'm now in the process of getting evaluated and possibly even getting a diagnosis. And I love you and I look up to you so much, but is there any chance you could maybe share about like a bit about your message and like who you are and maybe your journey and stuff like that?
Yeah, of course. First of all, that's freaking sick. I'm so excited. I love hearing stories from people. I'm so excited about that. Okay, my own journey, my own story. I'm Chloe, I'm 23, I'm autistic, I have ADHD. I got diagnosed as autistic when I was 12, almost 13. And my diagnosis journey, I hear so many stories of girls on the spectrum that had so many misdiagnoses and so many like issues but trying to find out who they are. With my diagnosis, I had struggled for a very long time trying to figure out who I was and trying to figure out what that meant and what my place in the world was. I had been to 13 different schools. I had been horrendously bullied by teachers and students. I always told mum and dad that I felt like I didn't belong here, that there must have been a mistake. And it wasn't until I went to a psychologist and she diagnosed me as autistic, and we had no idea what autism was. Like, my mum had only heard of the very Hollywood-based stereotype of autism, you know, like What's Eating Gilbert Grape and Sheldon Cooper and all that sort of stuff. She'd never heard of autism as in, you know, this is my daughter and she seems kind of normal, so I don't know, it doesn't make sense. And I got my diagnosis and mum was like, how can this be possible? This isn't what autism is. So autism was never even on the radar. It wasn't like we were struggling to get an autism diagnosis. We were just struggling to find out what was going on in my brain in the first place. And then I got this autism diagnosis and we did a lot of research on it and studied a lot about it. And the more that I started to research, the more that I was like, oh my goodness, this makes so much sense. Like, this is what my identity is and everything makes sense now. And it was the first one in my life where I was like, okay, maybe I am different, but maybe there's a whole lot of other people out there that have the exact same set of differences as me. And that was such a wow moment. Like, that was such like a zing moment where I was like, I've got it now. Like, I understand who I am, and there's a whole lot more people out there that are just like me. But at this point in time, no one was really talking about it. There was no one speaking for us that was us. The only people speaking for us were psychologists and professionals and parents who would speak very derogatory of their autistic children. So I started sharing my story and started talking about my own life and my own journey. And when I started talking about my journey, other people started sharing theirs with me too. And I kind of realized, I'm like, well, this is something that people need. We need autistic creators. We need autistic people just talking unashamedly about being autistic. And like from there, it just kind of blew off, and a lot of things have happened since then. But it started off as a very, very baby steps to a very big journey.
And this was 10 years ago when you were 13?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You've come like so far since then. It's like so cool to see that, like, it's so cool to see like actually like autistic adults, especially like female adults, like speaking out like about like your own experiences and stuff and like living your truth. It's just so nice to see and so cool.
How did you Thank feel you. When you first got your diagnosis? Was there part of you that was worried about being stigmatized or...
Dude, my mom cried. Like, when I got my diagnosis, my mom walked in. We walked out of the psychologist's office, and my mom was holding this big handbook. And I was like, you know, like when you're like 12 years old and your mom's crying, you think the whole world is ending. When you're 12 years old and your mom is crying and you think you're the reason that she's crying, you think the whole world is ending and you're the cause of it. So I was like, I have no idea what's happening. I don't know what's going on. I just know that whatever's going on, it's really scary and it's really bad. I'm probably going to die. Like, I was so sure that this was the end of the world. And we got in the car and my mum cried and I had a look over at this book and it, like, I'd never heard of the word before. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it meant. And the kind of whole car trip home was kind of silent. And then when we got home, I was like, Mum, what's going on? Thinking I had been diagnosed with bloody stage 4 cancer or something. And she was like, oh, you have something called autism. And then she kind of sat down and explained it to me. And she got over herself and was like, it doesn't mean anything. It's just the way that your mind works. And nothing has changed and nothing has caused this. It's just this is your brain. And my dad was like, yeah, like, you know, you are who you are. And it's a word doesn't change who you are. It's just now we have an understanding of it. Now we have a label for it. And I was like, okay, cool. And I think once I had that understanding, it was a lot easier to find a sense of self and find a sense of identity. And it wasn't always easy when you're 13 years old. I grew up in a very small town as well, so everyone knew everyone. And you know, like, word got out to other kids my age that I was autistic, and they would treat it like it was a plague and they would make jokes about it. And I didn't realize that was what the reaction was going to be, because I'd never heard of autism before. I didn't realize it was something that people would make fun of. Because I was very proudly telling people, I was like, I'm autistic. How cool is that? And all these other kids had heard of the word before. And were like, that's weird. That's gross. Why would you tell people that? I had friends, somebody they didn't want to be friends with me anymore because I was autistic. So it was a massive roller coaster. Like, for the first part of it, I was like, this is great. I have a sense of identity. And then for a few months after that, I was like, oh, maybe this isn't great. Maybe being autistic is a really bad thing. And then I got out of that mindset and got out of all those toxic people that were around me, and then kind of came to the legitimate conclusion that this is my brain and this is who I am. And that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's, if anything, it's a superpower.
Mm. How did you get the courage then to finally start your social media?
So I started my blog. I had a blog before I had anything else, and it was done under a code name. And the only reason I wrote this blog is because in typical Gen Z style, I wanted to pour out my deepest, darkest feelings onto the internet, strangers. And I wanted to do it under a code name because I didn't want anyone to know who I was. And this code name was Princess Aspian. And I would just write on this blog. No one knew who I was. I didn't post pictures of myself. I didn't tell anyone where I lived. I just poured my heart out onto the internet for strangers. And this blog kind of started getting a little bit of traction to it. And that's when people started writing back to me. And after maybe 6 months, I had a mum email me and she said, hey, my son really needs to see what you're putting out there, but he's nonverbal and he's not going to sit down and listen to me read it for him. Do you think you could make a video of it? And I'd never really considered that before. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, we could try that. So I just put up a video on YouTube, and on an unlisted link of me all pretty much reading, like reciting my blog post. Like I just kind of monologued my own blog post. And I sent it to her, and then she started sending it to her friends. And I started seeing that this video was climbing up in views. And I was like, well, I might as well put it on public then and see what happens. And it got like a couple, and for like 10 years ago, this was like a big thing for me. It got a couple thousand views in like a week. And I was like, oh, okay, this is something that people want to see. And that's kind of when I realized maybe this is something that is an important thing. No one else was talking about autism at this time. There was no other autistic YouTubers. There was no autistic content creators. I was, as far as I'm aware, I was the first person that was creating content about autism on the internet, particularly one that was autistic themselves. And people started responding to it and getting excited about the fact that there was an autistic person that was so actively talking about autism. And I was kind of like, oh damn, this is a thing that people need to see. I originally started doing it for myself, and then I realized that there are so many kids out there and so many parents out there who just need that extra support, just need that extra person to go like, hey man, everything's gonna be fine. And I didn't realize that person was me until I had all of these people responding back.
Honestly, like, I've like, as long as I've known you, that's like kind of how I've seen you. You're just like, like your videos like are such a comfort to me. They like I said earlier, I think I said this, you make me feel seen, and like I feel heard when I like feel seen and heard when I watch your video, when I watch your TikToks. I mostly like follow you on TikTok and stuff, and it's just so nice to like be like, hey, there are other people like me, and they're like, they're thriving, they're doing great in life, they have lives, they're like, there's people I can relate to, so maybe it's gonna turn out all right for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. That makes me so happy. I'm so glad to hear that.
And for a parent like me, who, I mean, first of all, the whole backstory with Mia was that she was definitely concerned to tell me that she thought that she had autism, and of mm-hmm. course I harbored such guilt that she had felt like she couldn't tell me this, or that she thought that I was going to be, I don't know, what did you think? I was going to be upset or angry?
I didn't know if I thought you were going to be upset. I just didn't know if you were going to like believe me. I didn't know if you were going to like I kind of thought you were going to be like, what? No,
because maybe not. You don't seem like a typically autistic person. Is
yeah,
that why?
Like, I grew up, like, my cousin is autistic. I grew up around him. He was, like, my main source of, like, autism knowledge growing up. So, like, sometimes, even when I was, like, little occasionally, I would think something about myself, be like, hey, maybe I'm autistic like him. But then they'd be like, no, I'm not, like, I'm not my cousin. He's autistic. I'm not, you know, like, it's like little kid stuff, I guess. Like,
yeah, I think that there's all these cookie cutter, quote unquote, you know, mm-hmm. Aspects that we all think of. And if somebody doesn't have it, we think, oh, that, why, they're not autistic.
100%.
Yeah. And that's hard as a parent also, because even talking about it sometimes I think is so hard, because we're so worried we're going to, number one, say the wrong thing or use the wrong terminology. So a lot of times I back off and don't even want to talk about it because I'm afraid of offending someone. Or so what do you say to people like that? Because I think I was nervous to talk about it with her at first because I was so worried about saying the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a hard thing to talk about, I think, because like you said, autism is so stigmatized, and especially as a young woman, it's like the struggles go up by tenfold because the only representation that we have of autism is cisgender white men, and that's the only stereotype that we have, and it's a stereotype that's wrong. Like, I've never met an autistic person that's like any of these Hollywood stereotypes that we see. And then when you put that on top of the stereotypes that, like, psychologists and doctors, like, the people who say that they're professionals know bugger all about autism, which is why so many girls are misdiagnosed and why so many girls go for years of their life with the wrong diagnosis and being diagnosed as, you know, BPD or depressed or anxiety and stuff like that instead of autism. It's such a misunderstood condition where even the professionals of our field don't know about it. So how can we expect parents to know about it and to be able to speak correctly about it when the information that they've been given has also been wrong? I think, and it's something that is changing. I think the fact that we have got so many different autistic influences now that are actually autistic and are speaking from a person first perspective rather than I've read about this in my fancy textbook sort of thing. It's getting better, and correct information is becoming a lot easier to source and access. But I think the most important thing is, like, parents listen to your kids, and like, they know what they're talking about. Like, I can guarantee they've probably done their research and they know their own minds better than anyone else does. Overall, it's about acceptance, and it's about understanding, and it's about having an understanding that autism isn't this big bag scary word that everyone thinks it is. It's so much more misunderstood than what people assume it actually is.
So what do you wish you had known when you were younger?
About myself or about autism? Well, just in general.
Yeah, in general. I mean, for parents going through it right now who suspect maybe that their kids have it, but are worried about taking the next steps, like I said, because of if their child is stigmatized.
Right.
And also to talk about it with their child because, you know, it's scary to sit down with your child and be like, there's something quote unquote wrong with you, even though that's not the way they're going to phrase mm-hmm. it. When you think about that word, the first thing that's going to come to a child's mind is, oh no, I'm different.
Right. Okay. First of all, I have so many parents come up to me and be like, I think my daughter's autistic. I think my son's autistic. I think my child's autistic. The usual terminology that uses, I think my child has autism. And they usually will say it like it's a really bad, scary thing. And they'll be like, when do I tell them? Or like, oh, like I want to go and get my child diagnosed, but my husband is scared of it. Or like, my husband doesn't want them to get diagnosed because they don't want them to be different. Or like, I don't want to tell my child they're autistic. I met a parent recently. We had a 15-year-old who had been diagnosed as autistic for 10 years and the kid still didn't know. And like the mom came up to me and was like really like, oh, like my kid's autistic and she doesn't know. I'm like, dude, your child knows they're autistic. Your kid knows they're different. Saying that you're not going to tell your child that they're autistic or that you don't want to take the next step in a diagnosis because you're scared of getting a diagnosis, it's not like you're going to go into a center and get a sticker on your hands that you didn't have beforehand. Your child has always been autistic. Your child always will be autistic. And people that are like, oh, but I'm scared of a label. Your child also currently has labels on them. People label things. That's what the human species does. We label things. And at the moment, the label isn't autism. The label is weird. The label is strange. The label is different. The label is usually going to be quite negative terms that other people are going to slap on your kid's face. And if you take that label away, and say, here's what you are instead, you're autistic, point blank, period, that's what it is. It takes away all of these other stigmas, all of these other labels. And I have so many parents that say to me, like, oh, I don't want to label my kid. But, like, a label is going to be there regardless. You might as well give them the correct one so that they can have a firmer sense of identity. And then give them the understanding, autism isn't a bad thing. Our minds are magic. Our minds are so incredibly powerful. And trying to say, oh, I don't want to tell my kid that they're autistic because it's a bad thing is ridiculous. The greatest minds of our world were autistic. So trying to say, oh, I don't want to tell my kid they're autistic, like, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I understand that there's a stigma behind it, but it's an incredibly wrong stigma that we need to get away from. And the only way that we can get away from it is by continuing to push the other correct narrative that there's nothing wrong with us. If anything, like, we're the super generation. We're the ones that, like, we're the next step of evolution, if that's the way you want to look at it. Like, autistic brains are freaking incredible. We just currently live in a world that doesn't cater towards us.
So it's really how the parent frames it to themselves and to the kid.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. 100%. I know for sure. If, like, I had been told, like, when I was younger, like in, like, sixth grade or something, like, hey, you're autistic. I know. I at first probably, like, I probably wouldn't have been like, I probably would have been like, what? No, I can't be autistic. I don't act like that. I probably wouldn't have been a fan of the idea at first, but then over time, I definitely, it would have made my life so much easier, because middle school was like hell for me. Like, mm-hmm. I know, as it was for like every other kid ever, but like, it was hell. And I know that like a diagnosis, that would have made everything so much easier. Cause like when I was in sixth grade, I was like, oh, I'm different. And obvious. And like other, I entered this like total not like other girls phase. And I was like, oh, I'm different than other girls. I must be better than them, because if I'm not, that means I'm worse because I'm not like them. So I must be different, which means I'm totally better. It means I'm better than all of you.
So what do you think would have helped about having a diagnosis?
Maybe I would have been like, oh, so I'm different, but that doesn't. But
so you were trying to make it about better or worse, but yeah. It wasn't about better or worse. Yeah, it was just about different.
Yeah.
So that would have helped you know that it wasn't about better or worse. Your brain just worked differently.
Yeah, I always thought like at that point that there was like something missing. There was something wrong with me. I've always thought there was like something wrong with me. Like, there was a point like when I started thinking about this stuff where I thought I was like going insane. You know, like when I started thinking about all this, I thought I was like going insane, just like kind of going crazy, because like, I thought that there was something wrong with me, and I was like starting to figure it out, but I thought that there was no way this could be going on with me. I thought that like there was no way I could be like that for whatever reason. I don't know.
Okay, that breaks my heart. There's nothing wrong with you. You're wonderful.
Thank you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
But I think that that's one of the things that's so hard for parents, is that that does hold us back, that it's a label. And it's really hard because you feel like you want to protect your child. So it's almost like you think that by not giving them the label, you're protecting them.
Mm-hmm.
When it's Which really kind of the opposite.
Right. Absolutely.
Right.
If there is something you could say, like any, like all neurotypical people, like anyone listening to this, like even like, from like parents to just like anyone.
Do you want to explain what neurotypical and neurodivergent are? Sorry, because I hear you guys using those terms and I don't know if everybody knows what they mean. Mainstream, is that what it is? Kind of people who are just mainstream. And neurodivergent is people who are somewhere on the spectrum?
Well, not just on the spectrum.
So autism, ADHD, Tourette's, dyslexia, I think. There's a lot of different examples of what neurodivergency is, but it's basically anyone who has a mind that works out of the typical, out of the norm.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry, what were you saying, Mia?
So if there's anything you could say, like anyone, like all neurotypical people, what would you like want to say?
Understand that different doesn't mean less, and that just because we have a different operating system, it doesn't mean that we are worth any less. It doesn't mean that we deserve any less. It doesn't mean that who we are is any less than you. Every single one of us is different. Every single one of us were created and put in this world to be different and to be used for a different purpose. And it's not fair that at the moment we have a percentage of those people that are different being bullied and being ridiculed and being belittled because of who they are. our world was created for everyone. And at the moment, it's not, simply because of the way the society sees autism and sees neurodivergency as a whole. It's time that we start seeing it as what it is. It's a superpower. It's a different mindset. It's a different operating system. And as soon as we start to see that, and as soon as the neurotypical society and the wider community starts to see that it's simply a different operating system and we can use this for the benefit of our society, until that happens, our world isn't going to change. Mm-hmm.
And what do you think parents can do in their households and everything? Because I think a lot of times we don't buy books about autism for our kids unless they have a diagnosis. And we don't talk mm-hmm. about it much until there's, you know, the friend who has it or the cousin who has it or something. I really don't know that it's something that we include readily into our households, movies and mm-hmm. TikTok accounts and everything. So what would you say to parents about that who maybe do just have right now, you know, neurotypical children and aren't dealing with autism, but eventually these kids are going to be in schools with these other children mm-hmm. and we can prepare them and make it so that there's no bullying and there's total acceptance and they embrace them.
100%. I think it's the same as anything. And it is definitely becoming a lot more common now to understand what autism is. 10 years ago, autism was not a word that people knew of. And the examples that people did know of autism were very, very stigmatized and very disgusting. Nowadays, most people have heard of autism and most people know what autism is to an extent. And I think a lot of it is, it's definitely a worldwide thing. It's something that everyone needs to do to make sure that everyone is able to understand it. And, you know, it starts with media, it starts with social media, it starts with the inclusion of autistic characters in film and TV and mainstream media, and not the stigmatized versions of them, like having, you know, TV show characters that just so happen to be autistic, just like how you have a character that just so happens to be gay or just so happens to be black or just so happens to be whatever it is. You need a character that just so happens to be autistic. And, you know, you see those examples like Julia and Sesame Street, great example for little kids who may never have heard of autism before. And now just one of them up, it just happens to be autistic and they learn about it from a young age. And I think it's not even necessarily because, you know, there's so many different types of different in the world. It's not necessarily going to be a reason for most parents to talk to their kids specifically about autism. So I don't know if it's necessarily an autism-based thing that people need to go, hey, let's sit down and talk about autism, but more so hey, let's sit down and talk about differences. Let's sit down and talk about the way that our world works and the way that every single one of us is different, and this is how this person's mind works, and this is how this person's mind works, and we need both of those minds to create a perfect universe. And yeah, I think that's really important, that it's not necessarily let's talk about autism, it's let's talk about difference and let's talk about acceptance.
Where do you like to get most of your information from? Because I know you're such a source of information for everybody else now, and you give so much education to people and in such an entertaining and relatable way. Where do you get your stuff from?
Honestly, my brain. Like, most of the stuff that I've learned has been from my brain, has been from my mates that are autistic, has been from other experiences, has been from other autistic creators. Has just been, it's mostly life-based experience. And I think that's the difference. And I think that's why I'm able to grow and why people choose to listen to me, because I have person first experience. You can't learn this sort of stuff from a textbook, man. I didn't go to freaking Harvard for 10 years and learn about autism from other people and then have like third person, fourth person, fifth person experience. I am autistic. I know my brain better than anyone else in this world. I know autism better than anyone else in this world that isn't autistic, because it's me. So everything that I get and everything that I understand, and I speak about things that are, you know, more diagnosis criteria and diagnosis based. And I get that from the psychologists that I work with, and people that are close to me that are professionals and have studied various types of neurodiversity and stuff. But overall, the majority of it is just, I've been on this earth for nearly 24 years. I know my brain, man. Like, I think that's where I kind of get the majority of my stuff from.
Yeah, I have to say, you've been, like, impressed with, like, the research I've done on autism. But I'd be lying if I said, like, I can recall, like, an article that I've read or, like, a book or something like that. All of the big information I got has come from TikTok. Mainly, mm-hmm. like, from, like, Chloe and from like Paige Lale and stuff. Of you have been like my main sources of autism. Honestly, I'd rather it come from you than like from any like article or from any TV show, because pretty much all of the autism representation I have seen has like majorly like sucked. Like like shows like Atypical. Like I love that show, but I only watch it for like Casey and Izzy, like the couple mm-hmm. on it. I watch that show for them. I don't watch it for the autistic character because that's not a representation of actual autism. He's not even played by like an autistic man. Like, and I know shows like The Good Doctor and like Community, like their autistic characters are like somewhat realistic, but they're not played by autistic people. So that just takes away all of the realism from it. They won't cast us with like people who are us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that's it. And I've learned so much. I only got diagnosed with ADHD when I was 22, and there was a whole new identity journey once again. And a lot of the stuff that I learned has been from TikTok, and I'm still learning about ADHD and autism every single day. And a lot of the information I get is from TikTok, these like 15-second videos where I was like, oh my God, I do that. Oh, I didn't know that was an ADHD thing. Or like, oh my God, that's literally me. Oh, I thought that was just what everyone did. Or like these feelings and these emotions that I would have. And I'd be like, oh my God, I thought there was something wrong with me. That's just ADHD. Okay, cool. And you know, you're getting it from relatable, entertaining content. You're getting it from people that are similar ages to you. Rather than old men in suits who are going to sit there and tell you about your brain. TikTok is an amazing platform. It's, you know, people Absolutely. Don't realize it's so much more than like Charlie D'Amelio dancing. Like it's like such an incredible platform that honestly has been such an intense form of education for the past couple of years now.
Yeah. When I found myself on like autistic TikTok, when I started looking at autistic TikTok, I noticed so much of myself just like, whoa, that's a lot there, because like I started seeing stuff about like special interests, like about stimming, like just like everything in general, because I saw so much of that in myself, and some of it I didn't even notice in myself until like I started like doing research and stuff. Like I hadn't even realized like these things about myself. I didn't even realize like that the stuff that I was like that was just like too much to me. I didn't even realize it was too much to me until it was like, oh my God, that's why I do that when that thing happens, you know? That's why I get mm-hmm. so angry when my dogs start barking, or like when I get so angry at my brother when he just like starts like drumming his fingers and stuff, like that's why I get like, that's why I have this response, and this has been explained to me by people who are living this out, and they know what they're talking about. I guess that's just kind of where I fit. I don't know. I'm sorry if I was kind of rambling, but like.
No, that's okay. Yeah, the special interest is hard. Yeah, it's hard because a lot of kids have obsessions with things, right? I mean, people, mm-hmm. you know, kids have obsessions with certain, you know, I mean, when they're younger, you know, construction sites and, you know, and kids with certain shows and movies, watching the same thing over and over again. So it can be a difficult thing to discern and to decide, is this just a regular, you know, fixation of growing up, and or is this something that's more? So it's a tough thing, I think, for parents to decipher, you know, where's the line?
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of different things. Like, you can see, like, my biggest hyperfixation as a kid was the Titanic, and I'm still hyperfixated on that. I'm obsessed with Titanic. I have, like, my whole bookshelf is just Titanic books. I have, like, a Titanic print. Like, I have a necklace that's, like, a replica of one of the ones from the Titanic. Like, I'm so obsessed with the Titanic. And you can tell when there's a difference between a kid that really likes me and a kid that is hyper-focused, and it's when it's their special interest. When I was 10, my birthday present was going to a Titanic exhibition in Australia, and we went to the exhibition and I was just fixated on it. I was like, this is the best day of my life. And there was a huge board there that had the names of all the passengers on them. And I read the board and I was like, this information's wrong. And my mum was like, what are you talking about? What's going on? Like, you're 10 years old. What the heck are you talking about? And I was like, this is wrong. And she goes, okay, how? And I told her the names and the spelling of the names is wrong. If this is incorrect, this is, and I have like, I being autistic, I have always had, autistic people have an intense heart for social justice, an intense heart for right and wrong. Like, this, we don't have gray areas. We have, this is right and this is wrong. And I wasn't going to let this slide. I wasn't going to be like, oh, it's fine. Like, spelling error, it's okay, whatever. I was like, this is wrong. And this is incorrect to the passenger. This isn't respecting them. these so-called researchers have done their research wrong, and I'm not going to stand for it. And I had the worst social anxiety at this point, and my special interest and my intense obsession with the Titanic was like, social anxiety can see you later. I have a job to do right now. And I marched up to one of the people who were working there, and I was like, your information is wrong. And she probably looked at me like, what the hell are you going on about? Who are you? And I told her, I was like, your information is wrong. I need to speak to someone about it. And I did. And the person who was like, you know, helping run it was like, oh, okay, like, we'll look into it. And I was like, good, like, make sure you do, you know, went about my merry little day and everything was groovy. And we got a call from them or an email or something like 2 weeks later. And it was from the exhibition saying, hey, recently your daughter came up to us and yelled at us, telling us that our information was wrong. She was correct. Here are free tickets.
Oh my God.
I remember
that's
your
awesome.
Video about that. That was like,
that's the difference, man. Like a special interest in like, kids get obsessed over things, but they don't get obsessed to the point where they're going to rack off and talk to a fully grown adult to tell them their entire exhibition is wrong because they noticed the spelling of a name was incorrect. And like special interests are so intense and will like stay with this person. You can usually tell, and obviously there's a lot of different little aspects of these special interests or aspects of playing and aspects of how a mind works. You can't diagnose autism because of a special interest, but if it's that intense, it's a good reference. And obviously that on top of everything else, like you go, okay, yeah, like there's a lot of little dots here.
I wish that for modern gents, these ads, that I could just have all of the messages that I have gotten from all of you who have bought their rings, thanking us for introducing you to this company and this brand, because, oh my gosh, again and again and again, so many of you say the same thing, that you just can't even believe how gorgeous these rings are, the price of them, the quality, everything about this company is so incredible. Modern Gents' goal is to make it so that couples spend their money on travel and experiences and less on a rock on your finger. That's why they created conflict-free, handcrafted, affordable wedding and engagement rings. Also, during pregnancy, your fingers can swell and you can't fit in your regular engagement ring. No problem. Order your size from Modern Gents and wear your ring until your other ring fits again. I just always get messages from people saying, I'm so skeptical. I want to order it, but does it really look like it does in the picture? I am promising you, yes, it really, really does. All of their rings are made with high quality materials and are handcrafted with precision. They provide not only an affordable ring, but a ring that will stand the test of time. My favorite part is that they're made from conflict-free materials, high-quality diamond stimulants. Modern Gents has over 100,000 happy customers and 9,000 positive reviews. Head to modgents.com and put in promo code MARTINIS18 for 18% off. That's modgents, MODGENTS.com, promo code MARTINIS18 for 18% off your purchase of $25 or more. Go check it out right now. You're going to love it.
Yeah, I know that. I know, like, when I was a kid, I was, like, I got very into, like, a lot of stuff. And I've been, like, slowly finding my way back to it, like, as I grow up, like, as mm-hmm. I, like, start to figure this out about myself, like, I start to accept, like, hey, it's okay that I kind of, like, still like these things from my childhood, because, like, mm-hmm. the things I liked in my childhood were obviously, like, childish things, like, Monster High dolls, and, like, Ever After, like, just, like, dolls in general, and, like, mm-hmm. like, bands like Big Time Rush, and, like, cartoons, and, like, I've just been getting super into that kind of stuff lately, like, all of my favorite shows now are cartoons, and, like, I've been rewatching all the stuff from my childhood. Like, right now I'm, like, binging Big Time Rush, like, which is, like, from my childhood. And I'm, like, letting myself get into it the way I did when I was a kid, like, the way I never would have allowed myself to if I was in middle school.
I mean, because it was not age-appropriate and cool, you wouldn't have let yourself.
Yeah, like, when I was in eighth grade, I got rid of all my dolls. And, like, now I kind of regret that, you know, and I'm, like, letting myself regret that, and, like, it's okay that, like, I kind of want to get back into this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely, yeah. I feel like there's an acceptance that has come with you, and even a pride, I think, that you feel from almost now being part of this community. Would you say that?
Yeah, definitely. I just want to get diagnosed, like, really badly, but I'm also so scared that, like, the results will, like, come back negatively, I guess, or, like, I don't know. For some reason, I've kind of, I don't know why, I just, like, attached myself to this label. And, like, it's just, like, it's just become so important to me. And, like, I don't know what I'll do if I don't get diagnosed. I mean, like, I know if it's not the end of the world if I don't, but it's just, like, something that would help me so much. It's just, like,
yeah,
something that, it's something that, like, I'm finally beginning to understand myself.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. as a parent, this is something, you know, this could be a whole different episode, but as a parent, when she was growing up, we would always see certain things, but yet she was this thriving, you know, kid who was doing well, and there were always differences, but she definitely checks a lot of those boxes, but yet we always said, she's doing well. She's doing okay. And I guess I thought sort of a label won't change anything. But what I wasn't thinking of, well, maybe it'll change something for her. And that never mm-hmm. even occurred to me, which obviously now I'm so frustrated with myself for. But I think I was looking at it from the perspective of, she's doing great. Just let her keep doing great. In the back of my mind, I always knew that there was something that wasn't, you know, I guess neurotypical.
Yeah, and then I started not doing great, and things kind of just like kind of
that's
like,
right.
Like went super downhill, and it just like it needed to become a conversation. And I'm not gonna lie, I like kind of resented you a little bit, like
yeah,
when you, like,
I'm sure
when you told me like, oh yeah, I know you're autistic. Like,
yeah,
when you
told I didn't understand that it would change anything because she was already doing okay. But mm-hmm. I love that you're both, you know, Mia's 15. You said you were 22 when you just got diagnosed with ADHD. You were 13 when you got diagnosed with autism. And I feel like I love that because I think people get to a certain age and they're sort of like, well, it's too late now.
Oh, my goodness. I met a man who was 85 and had just been diagnosed with autistic.
That's so sad. Like,
yeah, like, and he.
You mean it's sad that he went that whole time not knowing?
Yeah, that's obviously.
Yeah, he came up to a presentation I did once, and he had tears in his eyes, and he was like, "It took me 85 years to be diagnosed, and I now know who I am." Like, there's no such thing as being too late. If any, like, and obviously the earlier you can do it, but which is another point to make. Like I said before, like, don't hold it back from your kids. Your kids know that they're different. They need to know more than anyone. The fact that this guy was 85 and for the first time in 85 years felt peace because he knew who he was. If you think there might be something going on, if you think your kid might be neurodivergent, don't hold back. Don't wait. Don't worry and stress about it. Get them diagnosed. They're neurodivergent whether or not you know it. You might as well know it so you have an understanding of how to best help your child, and so your child has an understanding of who they are.
Yeah, I sometimes wonder, like, what I would be like now if I had been diagnosed at that age, because, like, mm-hmm. I feel like I would probably, like, I feel like maybe, like, I wouldn't have so much shame around so many areas. Maybe society, like, wouldn't have so much hold on me. Like my need for labels in order to be comfortable, maybe I would still have that. Maybe I wouldn't. Maybe I would, like, be a totally different person. Maybe I would, like... Mm-hmm. Maybe I would actually be doing a bit better in school, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't mean to be, like, making you feel bad about it.
No, no. Listen, this. I know it's a conversation that we need to have. How do you feel, Chloe, that you're treated now by people when they find out you're... Do you feel like it's gotten better, or do you feel like you're still sometimes stigmatized or bullied?
I think there's still a lot of misconceptions around it, and I'm lucky in the fact that majority of my job is autism. So, like, it comes up very easily in conversation for me. You know, the first thing that people ask when they meet you is, oh, what do you do as a job? And I say, oh, I work as an autism advocate. Oh, why? Oh, I'm autistic. Oh, interesting. And
just like interesting.
Yeah, like, people aren't as stupid as they used to be, but there's still some stupid comments that you get.
Absolutely.
Oh, you don't look autistic. Oh, I didn't think you were autistic. How can you be autistic? Oh, but you seem so normal. Oh, but you can speak to me. Oh, but you made eye contact with me during this conversation. They have these really weird stigmas of what autism is without actually understanding that autism is none of what you guys expect it to be and what you guys think it is. They're called stereotypes for a reason. It's because for the majority of the time, it's not real. It's based on stereotypes that Hollywood have told us and that media have told us and that the news has told us. And original research, which has now been proven to be false, has taught us, like, there's still times where people, if you have a look at my TikTok account, every second bloody comment is, oh, she's faking it. She can't actually be autistic. Oh, she doesn't speak for real autistic people. Like, shut up. You don't know me.
That pisses me off so much. I see the comments and I'm like, I know I can't fight all of these people. I know there's not much I can't do. I can do it. I know I can't fight every person, but it's just like, it hurts to see as like a young girl who looks up to you so much. And like, I know that you're autistic, but like, I don't know how to make these people like be like, oh, wow, I see your point.
That's it. And the thing is, they're trolls. Like, these people, I get so many.
They just want a reaction.
That's exactly it. And there was a period of time where I had several TikTok accounts that were dedicated to making videos about me and trying to like debunk me as being autistic and debunk me as all of these things that I was talking about. And it hurt. Like, some of the comments would hurt, and they'd be like, oh, she's not autistic. She has this instead. And here's proof that she has this. And she's lying to you. She's making money. And I don't know, all this sort of weird stuff. And you get over it eventually. Like, when you've been doing, like, I've been doing this since I was 18, and like, over time you learn to understand that these people don't actually matter. There's a lot of people in the world, and not everyone's going to like you, and you have to kind of grow to understand that that's okay, because you look at this one comment who says she's faking it and here's proof, and or you're not really autistic, or like, I don't like you, or you know, stuff like this. And, you know, you look at the one comment that says that, and then there are like 500 comments that are beautiful and full of like so much love, and like saying like, you know, like what you were saying before, and like, it's like, you look at those stuff and it's like, okay, here's why I do it. These comments, they don't matter. Like, you can, you know, whatever, that stuff doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, plus like, you know, like, these people are like taking time out of their day to be like, oh, she's not autistic, here's why. You know, there's something going on with them that like they're like projecting onto you. That you guys
100%. Yeah, like 100%. None of these people actually have a hatred for the person. I think it's a lot more in depth and a lot more embedded. And there's probably some weird sort of psychology around it, but it's
don't need to get into that. That's their business, yeah. Like,
exactly. Their opinions, their reactions, other people don't affect me anymore. I'm autistic. I don't care about other people. like,
right. What you're doing is so good. That's the whole crazy thing. Is why is anybody? It, you know, it's got to come from some kind of internal, self-esteem issues on their part. Do you think it's getting better for girls? Because I know in the past there has been we've been so lacking in information about autism in girls. And even I just learned recently, Mia told me that it's lighted up blue because autism was always associated with boys, that now they're trying to change it to red.
Yeah, red instead.
So there's two different ones. So there's red instead, or Australia has yellow for autistic girls, was started by an organization called Yellow Ladybugs, which is an organization for young autistic girls. And yeah, there's a couple different things. Lighten up blue, first of all, is because of boys. Second of all, was I'm not sure if it was created, but it was popularized by Autism Speaks, which is an incredibly intensely awful hate group that pretend that they speak for autistic people, but actually are very much into eugenics and very much into stigmas and very much into vaccines for autism and very much into, we don't actually care about autistic people. Let's kind of get rid of them. And a lot of the stuff that we know about autism, puzzle piece logos and light it up blue and all that stuff, was heavily popularized by Autism Speaks, and the autistic community wants nothing to do with it. But once again, is why autistic voices are so important, because now people are choosing to listen to us. And now that our voices are being heard instead of being silenced, we have the ability to say, this is wrong. We don't want this to be our representation. Here's what representation actually means.
I know, like, as an autistic girl, I told someone I know who has autism, and I told them, hey, I'm in the process of like possibly being diagnosed, and just like, yeah. And they were like, oh, if you have autism, it's very mild, you know, like, they were, if you have autism, it's very mild. And I was like, I didn't know how to respond to that, so I didn't say anything. I just didn't want conflict. I hate conflict.
I think that's a lot. What a lot of people think, that there's this scale of mild to obviously quote unquote, yeah, severe, and that that's what the spectrum is, mild to severe, when really that's not how it goes or how people want to be identified.
No, so autism is a spectrum, but it's not a spectrum as in you're a little bit autistic and you're very autistic. It's not a linear line where one side of the line is a little bit of autism and like mildly autistic, and the other part is like, oh, you're really autistic. That doesn't exist. That's not a thing. The autism spectrum is, I call it like a color palette, where every single autistic person is a different color, and these colors represent our likes and our interests and our struggles and our quirks, and every single person is going to have a different one of these colors. Low functioning and high functioning autism does not exist. And I know that that's a massive thing that a lot of parents really, really dwell on. They're like, oh, my kid's autistic, but it's okay because they're only, it's high functioning autism. Or if, you know, they want the pity vote, they'll be like, oh, my child has low functioning autism. And, you know, they make it like, you know, like it's like a be and all and end all sort of thing. And it's not. Low functioning and high functioning autism does not exist. Functioning labels were entirely created for the benefit of the outsider looking in, going like, oh, you have capitalistic value to me. You appear normal to me. You are what I deem as normal enough to function in society. You aren't. Functioning labels are just don't make any sense to me and aren't a thing that autistic people use. And aren't a thing that we should be using. Functioning labels were also originally created by Hans Asperger, who was a Nazi. And it was his idea of, and I know this is like, whoa, like, let's just like talk all this smack all at once. But like, it's something that people don't realize is such an intense thing. You know, he created these labels to say like, you are worthy, you aren't. Functioning labels are disgusting. And the fact that we're still using them is absolutely revolting. It's not a thing that people should be using. Autism is a spectrum, but it's a color spectrum and not a linear line spectrum.
I'd be lying if I said I didn't really project these ideas like onto myself, you know, like sometimes like all the time really, I'm just like questioning like, oh, do I really have autism or is it just like, mm-hmm, do I really have autism or am I just like, do I just like want to be like different? Do I just want to be like quirky? Even though like I know like that's not like really how it is, like, but like I'll project it onto myself because like, oh, you don't do this or that, you must not be autistic. When I know like, just because I'm autistic doesn't mean I display every autistic behavior. Just because someone is on one part of the spectrum doesn't mean, uh-huh, I share that part. Like, I can tolerate certain things others can't, but I know that some people can tolerate things that I can't. Like,
absolutely, dude. Imposter syndrome is such a massive part of being autistic, especially for autistic women. Yeah, imposter syndrome is a massive thing that I would say the majority of us has gone through, where it's like, I'm not autistic enough. And the reason we believe that is because of this invisible linear line that people believe that we have, and because all of the traits that we know of autism are over stigmatized and characterized to men. First of all, most of those characteristics aren't even correct in the first place, regardless of what your gender is. So as a young woman who's autistic, you see all these things and go, maybe I'm faking it. And also, because as women, we're always being told that who we are is wrong, and you know, our opinions are wrong, and what we understand of the world is wrong. Or we're not good enough or whatever. So of course, one of our initial instincts is going to be, maybe I'm making this up, maybe I'm using this for clout, maybe I'm using this to pretend that I'm something that I'm not. And that's ridiculous. It's not the way that the world is. It's not the way that we are. Autism isn't a one size fits all.
Yeah, I know another problem I've always had is like with masking, because like that's something I'm so used to that like I've literally been like hiding behind it for so long that I didn't even realize that like I was faking anymore, you know, like.
Do you want to explain what masking is?
Masking is like when you like put on a different behavior, like to like
appeal to others,
like to try to blend in with the neurotypical folk. That's a problem I've always had, and something I still do, but like it's it's also like a safety blanket, you know. It's something I feel like I have to keep it close. It's something I have to do.
And what, okay, so everybody who's listening right now, every listener, for each of you, I'm going to have each of you say, what do you want each person to take away and maybe start doing when it comes to the autistic community and everything that they haven't been doing before?
Understand that different doesn't mean less. Understand that who we are is exactly who we're supposed to be. There is nothing wrong with us. There is nothing strange about us. There is nothing that you need to be scared of with autism. Autism is beautiful. Autism is wonderful. Autism is a superpower. Our greatest minds were autistic, and it's time that we start seeing it for what it is. We need to start seeing autism as this incredible different mindset instead of seeing it as something that is something to be feared of. Who we are is exactly who we're supposed to be. And the sooner that we start to understand that, the sooner that our society and that our world can continue to grow and shape into the way that it needs to be.
I love that. Mia, yes. Do you want to add anything?
Let's see. I don't know. Just like shut the hell up and let autistic people speak, I guess. Like,
period, queen. Absolutely.
Oh my God, I'm going to cry. You just called me queen. Oh my God. Sorry.
Wait, you need to elaborate a little bit more, because when you said shut the hell up, I was sort of like, wait, what? And then I was sort of like, oh, okay. So let autistic people speak. What does that mean?
Like, let us play our own roles. Let us don't speak over us. Like, let us talk, let us like share our experiences. Like, just like, let us live our lives and stop treating us like babies. Stop treating us like, you know, like wild creatures who you don't understand, instead of actually trying to understand us. Like, neurotypical people, stop listening to autism speak. Stop listening to shows where like where the autistic characters aren't played by autistic people. And if you listen to Sia, so help me God, I will beat you up. I don't care who you are.
Sia?
Yeah, you've...
I didn't realize...
Oh my God, preach it!
I didn't know this was a thing. So Sia is bad?
Absolutely. Oh. Have you not... I feel like I've told you
I don't think so, yet. But now I know. Okay, I'm deleting her from my playlist. So can you tell everybody where to find you? Because every single person needs to follow you on TikTok. I don't care if they are on the spectrum or not on the spectrum. Every single person. And also, I want to say to parents a little bit, because I do know that there are parents who don't let their kids on TikTok or anything. But there is this whole side of it that is so amazing, and that mm-hmm. really has changed Mia's life and changed your life. So I think that there obviously is lots of sides to TikTok that maybe aren't great, but there is so much wonderful stuff out there too. So tell everybody where to find you, and because everyone needs to.
You can find me at Princess Aspian and all social media, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Twitter. Don't follow me on Twitter. I just cry about One Direction. all social media platforms, Princess Aspian. You can find all of my stuff there. I talk about autism. I talk about mental health. I talk about ADHD. I talk about my life as a neurodivergent person, and how we can create a world that is better for all of us.
That's awesome. We cannot thank you enough for doing this.
Literally, I'm sorry. I love you so much. This has been such an amazing opportunity. When I heard that you were going to be on the podcast, I was like in tears. I was just like, and I was going to be able to talk to you. Like,
yeah, I said to her, if you could have one person come on the podcast who you could talk to about this, who would it be? And you were the like only name that she mentioned.
Oh.
She,
oh my God,
so, so this God. Was, you really, you just, you know, you did something really spectacular. So we both thank you. And
You're so welcome. And
if we're ever in Australia, we'll come
Dude,
surfing
come
with
over.
You.
I'll take you surfing. I'll take you surfing. Come out and ride my horses.
That sounds amazing.
I mean, yes, please. As soon as this is all done, all this.
As soon as we're COVID. As soon as Americans stop being stupid and we're like allowed back in Australia.
All right. Yes. Thank you so much, Chloe.
You're so welcome.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.